Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you so much for attending REN's 2021 results conference call. We will have with us today our executive team, Rodrigo Costa, the CEO, João Conceição, the COO, and Gonçalo Morais Soares, our CFO. Rodrigo will kick it off with his opening remarks, and then João and Gonçalo will guide you through the main highlights of our 2021 operational and financial performance. We will then move to the Q&A session, in which we will be taking your questions. I will now pass the floor to Rodrigo.
Thank you, Madalena. Hello, all. We are here today to go through the 2021, you know, performance, the results. I just want to say that, you know, we had two very difficult years, the last ones. You know, starting with the global warming, you know, we moved from droughts to floods, fires and hurricanes, and then we had, you know, several waves of COVID. You know, we thought that the problem was solved, then it came back, then we thought again it was solved, it came back again. We were super lucky with the vaccination performance. The fact is that we had a lot of economic disruptions. We are dealing, still dealing with shortages of all sorts of industrial components. We had also negative impact on the availability of our workforce, you know. I think this is a common problem across many industries. Somehow, you know, our sector was somehow protected from, you know, the problems that other commercial sectors had. More recently, we saw the energy prices increase, and now, you know, we are dealing with the war, which is of course a 2022 fact, not a 2021 fact. It's very hard now to be able to talk about what is going on and not thinking about the problems we have today. The good news is that we were able to deliver on all the items we control. I think, you know, the vast majority of what we want to do, we were able to do it. We even were able to recover some of the delays of the past year. Operationally, we did a good job. Also all our staff, you know, on the administrative side, I think performed very well. We found our way to deal with COVID, you know, and you know, this is the type of company where you have 50% of the people, they have operational roles, and 50% of the people have support roles. The people who have to be, you know, climbing the towers, fixing the lines, working with the transformers, those guys, they work 24/24. With COVID or without COVID, we have to do our jobs, and we were able to do so. We also had a significant change on the regulation towards the end of the year. You heard us talk about that. I think you have most of the details, and I think we are in a good path. SES remains, I would say, our top financial challenge. It's seriously harming our bottom line. Of course, we are not giving up on the process. We keep going on the courts, you know, but still we are waiting for the government decisions. You know, a new government just took place or was elected, and it will take place next week, in fact. I think above all, we believe that the energy transition is something that is one of our top priorities. It is an opportunity for all our sector, and especially for us. I'm sure we will be able to deliver. Although we have all these challenges, I'm sure we will keep doing a great job. I must confess that our focus is not in, you know, it's not on 2021, it's really on 2022. We have, you know, again, you know, from the global warming challenges, the energy transition projects, the new regulation, fears of the inflation, and the fact that we have a war next door will keep us very busy in the coming months. Again, I think we remain, you know, quite positive and somehow I think this is an industry sector that is protected at least from the revenue side, and we just need to keep being operational focused and do a great job. As well, as Madalena said, now we go through the presentation and I would invite Gonçalo to take over.
Thank you, Rodrigo. Good afternoon to you all. Thank you for joining. So as Rodrigo said, 2021 was a difficult year. 2022 is starting even in a more, I'd say, darker note. But 2021 was a tough, challenging year, but it was a year that I think we can consider very successful. So we have major delivery on the investment front in Portugal, and we were able to accomplish all the targets within the business plan guidance that we had defined, and some of them even, I would say, above the intervals that we had defined ourselves. So EBITDA, as you can see, reached 460.8 million, a decline of 2%, slightly better than on the third quarter that it was declining closer to 3%, but driven mostly by the same things. First of all, a pressure on rev and remuneration rates. Secondly, decrease on the incentive that we have, the IRA incentive, because in 2020, as you may remember, it was abnormally high or exceptionally high. And third, because we were also impacted by the high cost of electricity, namely in the terminal. International business was basically flat or stable in this period. Net profit came down around 11% to 97.2, despite the fact that we were able to improve yet again a little bit the average cost of debt for the company. As you can see, CapEx increased a lot from 173.3 million to more than 230 million this year. So it was a very strong, and moreover, transfers to average this impressive number of more than 309 million last year. We'll also go through a little bit more the ESG commitment that we've made last year and we are reinforcing. But now to talk a little bit more also about how the operating environment is working and quality and all of that, I'm going to pass the floor to João, that is going to go over those sections. João?
Well, thanks, Gonçalo. Good afternoon to you all. Moving to slide five, you have basically the what we consider to be the three major issues in terms of the context where we operate. But all of them started basically last year, but they are going through 2022. The first one is obviously the setup of the new regulatory model for our electricity business. As you know, by the end of 2021, 15 December 2021, the Portuguese regulator closed the definition of the new model that will be applied for the next 4 years. As a recap, you have a brief summary. Basically, it's a move into a TOTEX model for our electricity operations. Having said so, the regulator decided to keep for the assets that were transferred into operation before the end of 2021, they decided to keep the same methodology as we were used to, namely considering the extra RAB that we gained from the efficiency by applying the reference cost mechanism, and also by keeping the 75 basis points premium over the base RAR. For the all assets pre-2022 or after 2022, there was defined a base rate of return of with a starting rate of 4.4%, which kind of get close to the ones that the one that we were having until the end of 2021, and an efficiency factor for both our transmission activities as well as system management of 1.5%. This incentive mechanism that Gonzalo mentioned, the IRE mechanism, was replaced by this new improved technical performance mechanism. It's a mechanism that has embedded three indicators related to the combined availability rate of our infrastructure, the interruption time, and the interconnection capacity. And this mechanism now range from minus 20 million to 20 million euros maximum. A new thing that the regulator introduced was this efficiency sharing mechanism, which in fact will compare by the end of the regulatory period our performance, our real performance versus what was expected in these conditions that were set by the end of 2021. And based on the result of this comparison will imply sharing or recovering some extra money depending if we overperform or if we underperform versus what was expected. An important point is that this new improved technical performance, this EMDT mechanism, will not be entitled to be consider in this efficiency sharing mechanism. In addition to that, we got a new base law for the electricity sector. This is the overall rules, legal rules that will apply to the sector. Some important change in terms of some of our activities, namely in terms of network planning and as well as operation. Last, in terms of the energy transition, we have been working on the development of our bet on the hydrogen, and we apply to this PRR recovery resilience plan that Portugal is implementing. We have applied three projects, and in fact, two were selected in this first phase. One of them is actually linked to this hydrogen world, and basically to create a green hydrogen value in the area of cities with a specific dedicated pipeline, some infrastructure for the blending of hydrogen into the natural gas system, and some R&D components, which we are relatively positive that our proposal is a very good one and hopefully will be accepted by the final appraisal that the Portuguese state will perform in the next weeks or a few months. Additional to that, we also applied a second project to try to foster our power mobility project in order to use the network infrastructure, transmission infrastructure, to specific charging of electric vehicles, directly linking the charging stations to this high voltage infrastructure. Moving on and jumping to slide 7, you have a summary of the technical and technical figures of 2021. After Rodrigo and Gonçalo, I'm the third one to say that it seems that it was quite long ago, because everything is changing significantly in these technical parameters. We got the end of 2021 with a slight increase in consumption on electricity versus 2020, basically recovering from the lockdowns that have been already mentioned. Our renewable share in terms of the electricity generation was more or less stabilized, slightly higher than 2020. We almost reached the 60% of renewable share on all the electricity that was consumed in Portugal throughout the 2021 year. In terms of the quality of service, I think we did a good performance. Average interruption time, we increased slightly to 0.05 minutes of interruption time through the whole year, whereas the combined availability rate, we set it at 98.66%. Bear in mind that these two indicators are the ones used for this IMDT incentive mechanism. But the thresholds that the regulator set for these two variables, we are still in the comfortable zone. Just to give you some reference, the threshold for the combined availability rate is 97.5%, so we kind of more than 1% above this value, whereas the interruption time, the regulator requires us to have an interruption time below 0.96 minutes, and so being at 0.05, we have still quite a comfortable margin. In terms of the gas transmission, 2021, we saw a slight decrease in the consumption, and the reason for that it was because it was a good year for renewables, namely hydro generation of electricity, meaning that the combined cycle plants were not used so much, and therefore there is a direct reflection on the consumption of natural gas. Availability rate of our transmission infrastructure in gas was very high, approximately 100% of 2020. And in what concerns to our distribution activity in the port gas, we saw in terms of quality of service a slight decrease in some of the indicators, namely in the emergent situation with a response time up to 60 minutes. And the reason for that is because the number of emergencies that we were called increased significantly due to the fact that activity, normal life activity, increased as we got out from the lockdown period. Just one final word that this was the year 2021, and now in 2022 everything has changed because we are going through a severe dry season. Hopefully it's raining now in Portugal and it's expected to rain for the next few days, which is obviously very good for the hydro production, because until now we have seen this hydro production reducing significantly, and it's so far being compensated by natural gas with the combined cycle plants and as well as the interconnection capacity with our neighbor Spanish system. And with that, Gonçalo, I give back to you.
Thank you, João. So moving to slide number 8, it's just a recap of the main numbers. I almost went over all of them. Net debt, as you can see here, came down around 14%, and I'll go into that a little bit more in the next slides also, but this is very much in line with what we have in the third quarter as main messages already. Okay. If you move to slide number 9 and we look at the consolidated view of EBITDA before going, the evolution is, as I said, a little bit better than the third quarter, but the high energy prices still pushed it down. So on the REV remuneration is what I had explained before, the rates and the asset size itself. On the OPEX contribution, there was a little bit of pressure, as I told you, and then it's the incentive that affects the other revenue. I'd say that if not for the number 3, which is, I'd say, an abnormal variation, and the energy prices, you would probably see an almost flat EBITDA year on year. As of the components of the EBITDA, what you see is electricity going up a little bit, gas, this transmission coming down a little bit, and then international and gas distribution more or less stable year on year. Looking at slide 10 and at rates, this is exactly what you have seen also on third quarter. This doesn't change. So everything at the floor, there was no change here in this information. Let's move to CapEx, so on slide 11. So as I had told you, this was a very good year. I think that operations delivered strongly on the investment they had to make. And bear in mind, it was still a year where you still had impact of the pandemic, and still they delivered very, very strongly. So we have in Portugal this CapEx of almost 238 million, and our guidance in the business plan was 180 to 220. So we are not only very happy to be managing to beat the targets that we set ourselves, but we are proud to also be contributing to this acceleration of Portugal's decarbonization plan. Okay, that translates also in terms of transfers to RAB, so extremely strong, driven by not only the strong CapEx this year, but also some recuperation for from the previous years. If you look at both years' transfers to RAB and you add them up, and you look at both years' CapEx and you add them up, you see that both numbers are closer together than RAB and CapEx on every single year. On electricity was basically several big lines that were put in place in Alentejo, where we are reinforcing the network for the new solar projects that will come in the near future. Also in the north, where new hydro plants are being connected and should start this year to operate. Gas transmission continue to do smaller but normal, I'd say, maintenance investment, and gas distribution continuing to push the expansion and the densification of the network. So looking at the evolution of RAB, what we see is this recalibration of higher weight of electricity and lower weight of gas. And although this is exactly what we have in our business plan, this bigger focus on electricity, we also do believe that recent events, namely, reinforce ever more the significance and the importance of the gas network. This gas network is clearly key in promoting the decarbonization and promoting the security of supply of Portugal and European countries in general. Going a little bit deeper to slide number 13 and looking at how it breaks down for every business, electricity, you see that there is a bigger impact in terms of ROAR or rate impact, but you have a positive compensation coming from assets. So there's a kind of a mixed impact there. In gas transmission, both are negative. That's why the impact itself overall is bigger than in electricity. And gas is basically stable versus what we had before. Looking at slide 14 and at OPEX, so this trend of increase improved versus third quarter, we were growing OPEX almost 9%, 8.8% on third quarter. So we ended up at 5.2. So there was a good recuperation, but it was still challenging. And so as I said before, one of the main challenges was clearly electricity costs. These went up around 5 million euro last year versus 2020. And that explains basically almost all of the change in core external costs. There was also an increase in insurance costs last year of around 1.8 million. We are planning, or we are expecting that this year this should be optimized, and probably the cost of insurance should come down, although the general risk environment is still kind of worsening. And so these insurance costs were actually compensated by an effort in O&M that was able to compensate that cost, but not the overall increase. Personal costs were basically normal salary adjustments, nothing. The number of people in Portugal was exactly the same in 2020 as it was in 2021. Okay? So we will continue to be committed ever more, and especially now within this new regulatory model, to look for efficiency and strive to create value there also. Looking at the international business, in slide number 15, you can see that it's basically stable. Just making a comment politically, you have a new government that was just elected and came into office a few weeks ago. We are waiting and seeing. We believe that the signs, or at least the markets, are taking a positive view on how things are. It's a little bit early. We believe that in terms of energy, the policies are going to be very similar to what they were, but we have to wait and see. Talking about energy, there the environment is very similar to the one that João described about Portugal, but I'd say even a little bit more severe. So they also have a a drought. They also increased gas consumption, which for us is not bad, but they also had to increase, as of now, coal and diesel in terms of generation, which is even worse, as the spread in the system, I think, is a little bit higher. Looking at our assets, Electrogas, it has the gas pipeline slightly tougher year because one of the contracts that they have ended last year. But, and on the back of what I just told you about the use of gas in the country, we are expecting actually Electrogas to have a very positive year, even a record year in 2022. As of Transemel, it continues to grow. Despite the fact that there was a little bit of tariff and some delays, it also had a revision of assets that was positive to the company. So EBITDA grew over 20% last year. CapEx was a little bit delayed and should recuperate now in 2022. So we'll still be growing next year. We are looking at small organic opportunities, but as of now, we are kind of doing what we have to do in the company to continue to grow it in the footprint that it has. Okay. In terms of below EBITDA on slide 16, so in terms of financial costs, we were able to push this 20 bps below what we had before, so now it's around 1.6, the average cost of that. It was a good job, but we are clearly now in an ever more challenging environment. Inflation is creeping up, and so we do not expect to see this to continue to go down. We are seeing more signs from central banks that rates will probably go up, at least much more signs that they will go up rather than they stay where they are or that they will come down. So I think that it's to be expected that it should not continue to come down, but we are and we continue to be in a very comfortable position. I'll talk a little bit about net debt in the next slide. In terms of taxes, it's almost 45% effective tax rate, which says it is still penalizing the company. There's no news or no changes or no update. Everything I say is the same on that front. We keep fighting it, but it's still there, and so there is no news that is that we can give you on that front. There was a little bit. We typically recuperate certain items or discussions that we have with tax authorities every year. In 2020, it was a particularly positive year in that respect. We did recuperate something this year, but it was less than in 2020. So you see it come up a little bit, the effective tax rate, but we would say that the tax rate of around 28.5 is what we plan as a stable tax rate. So slide 17 is just the overall picture of all of these impacts that I told you that result in this drop of 11% in net income. But more than that, moving to slide 18 and talking about debt, again, what you see here is a very strong reduction in debt, and it's still the same thing as you saw on the third quarter, basically driven by tariff deviation. As we had explained before, this was mostly driven at rent ratings level because of the prices of electricity and the high usage of the gas plants and of the coal plants that we had still last year, and it has closed down meanwhile during most of 2021. And during this year, I can tell you we would be and we are going to be refunding this deviation in 2022, most of it, the one relating to rent trading, but, and also anticipating a little bit your questions, what we are seeing is extremely high prices in electricity, so we should expect more deviation, more positive deviation, so we don't know yet, it depends, but if it's going to be in the same level or not, but they are still material, so they are not small deviations. So I say that it's not going to go back completely to normal during 2022. I think it's going to be more than a one-year trajectory. again, it's not bad, but it's not something that we like because it messes up the management of our treasury, but it doesn't really, it's not really an issue. That being said, it kind of pushes a little bit more any refinancing needs that we have towards the end of the year, towards the beginning of 2023. We are completely and very comfortable with our funding position. Slide 19, just to give you a final comment on the evolution of the stock last year, it was pretty good. We had a TSR of 15.5%, compares well, slightly below the index in Portugal, but compares pretty well with our peers and the sector in Europe. Just talking about how we fare against the business plan and going to slide 21. So we have said in the business plan that one of the key components was investment growth. We delivered on that. High service quality levels, we delivered on that. ESG, we are still also developing that a lot, and Rodrigo will talk about that a little bit more. And regarding solid financials, we continue to pursue the same policies. We've had very stable ratings and reactions to the business plan, and we continue to see a lot of stability in our ratings moving forward. In 2022, you can see that in the main four objectives that we had. So we were able to deliver on EBITDA, completely within the target. Net profit, the same, completely within the target. Net debt is even surpassing the target. It's because of that kind of abnormal situation, but we would be, even without that, we would fulfill it. We are surpassing the target. And more importantly, in the last one, we are clearly delivering on CapEx, and we expect to be clearly delivering on CapEx in 2022, which we expect also to be a strong CapEx year. And so with that, we move into the SGN part, and I would pass the floor to Rodrigo. Rodrigo?
Well, on the ESG front, we decided on, when we presented our strategy plan, to disclose what are our plans. And basically, we are moving forward, and 2021 was already a key year. I must say that the ESG work started a long time ago. It's not really anything that we just decided to do last year. It's a long road. We always have been a company that, the environment concern is on top of our minds. The topic of governance, as you all know, also it's something that we care, and we try to have to be a best practice, and I think we are. And in terms also of our social impact, you know, this is something that comes up also on top of our mind since we have the company. Now, we understand this is an opportunity for us to, to follow, the best practices at some point. I think this also helps to go this way, but it's a way for us of creating value. The changes on the climate, it's something that we need to address and we need to contribute. Global warming cannot just be, we cannot, we have to keep it in mind. We have the war, we have the prices of the energy, and somehow it seems that the global warming is not really on the agenda anymore, or it's going to be paused for a few months, not for us. And in that regard, just to go through the main topics, we have a clear goal for lowering our emissions. We want to be carbon neutral by 2040. That's a huge target. And by 2030, we will have to reduce by 50% from where we were in 2019. We want to have one third of women in our first line management. It is true that we are already close to that number, but it's going to be already a big challenge for us to keep it like that, but we want to do better. And also, we now have clear metrics, and you will see those in our annual reports of 2021. You will see that we already have the new metrics in place to address this topic too. In terms of ratings, as you know, one thing is what we do, and the other thing is how that is perceived outside. And to be able to show what we do, we must work with the a number of agencies, and MSCI, the Sustainalytics, the ISS ESG, S&P Global. I think we have, you know, we are adopting, you know, the top ones, and well, we are starting, but I think we will have also very good results in that field. I don't know, closing remarks. I think I'm not going to repeat what we already said. You know, just focusing on, you know, the last two topics of the slide, which is our board of directors, and this is public, of course, it's going to propose on the next AGM the payment of a dividend of 15.4 cents per share, you know, absolutely in line with what was the policy we announced last year. And also, we want to make sure that everybody's aware of the, you know, the fact that ERSE released the tariffs and prices for and electricity for 2022 and the parameters for the regulatory period of 2022-2025. We are moving to this TOTEX model, and of course we'll be here to provide any, you know, further details that you may need on any of these topics. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Rodrigo, Gonçalo, and Joel. We will now open to any questions that you might have.
Thank you, dear participants. We will begin our question and answer session. If you wish to ask a question, please press star and one on your telephone keypad. The first question comes from the line of Clara Trindade from Caixa Bank. Please ask your question.
Yes, hi. Good afternoon. I have two questions, if I may. The first one is on the diversification of gas sourcing in Europe. Just wondering if you can share with us whether you see a potential upside on new investments, whether related with specific investments in Portugal or interconnections, and also related with this, if you can share with us the level of utilization rates in the regasification facilities. And then secondly, a follow-up on your comment regarding the expectation that there will be no full reversion of the tariff deviations throughout 2022. So can you share with us what would be the level of debt that you would expect at your end? Thank you.
Well, thanks for the question. I will try to answer the first one. In terms of upsides from this goal of diversifying the sources of natural gas, I think there is always an upside. No downside, that's for sure, and a possible upside if the different European countries will consider Iberia to be a source of to supply gas to Central Europe. If that is the case, there are two infrastructures that are mandatory for that regard. The first one is the Midcat interconnection between France and Spain, and the second one is to recover the project of the third interconnection between Portugal and Spain. I think that what has been discussed so far is that those infrastructures to be developed, they should be developed already with an eye on hydrogen. So to be developed with the possibility of being able to quickly and easily be converted into pipelines for transmission of hydrogen. But of course, this is something that we have to wait for the guidelines and the instructions that we receive from our government to see if we go for the development of those infrastructure or not. Regarding the levels of regasification in our terminal, I can tell you that in this first 2.5 months of 2022, practically 100% of the gas that has been consumed in Portugal has entered through the terminal. So means that very high levels of regasification in the terminal.
So regarding the levels of debt that you're asking, so we are now at this 2.336 billion. So I think that if things were kind of going back to normal, you'd probably end up with a net debt closer to 2.5 billion, given the prices of energy. So it depends. So you'll probably be somewhere between the 2.4 and 2.5. It's not that it impacts us in any significant way, but it's difficult to predict. So it depends on how much and for how long you'll have these high levels of price. Okay? Thank you.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Antonio Celades from AS Independent. Please ask your question.
Hi, afternoon. Two questions were already answered. So just regarding the operating expenditures, the OPEC that performed mainly through the fourth quarter, so should we expect this kind of evolution over the year? Or, well, it of course depends on energy price. Nevertheless, if you can share with us, what kind of figures are you expecting for the coming quarters? Thank you.
I mean, Antonio, I'm not going to give any specific guidance on the OPEC, but we are, and when we made the budget, we were expecting already, we are expecting a higher price of energy. So it will still impact our EBITDA. You will not see increase again versus 21 as it increased versus 20, but it's going to be high. We are also entering in a new regulatory framework, so we are also going to push for some efficiencies. So let's see how that evolves along the year. It's a little bit early to give you a specific guidance on core OPEX. Okay,
thank you. I don't know if I can ask you a follow-up question regarding the first question from my colleague. There are some comments on the news. There were some comments on the newspapers about doubling or, well, increasing the capacity, the gas natural storage capacity. So from my understanding, and I don't know if I understood well, the countries will have to have more storage capacity in terms of natural gas to avoid this kind of crisis. So it's something that do you think it could go ahead or just newspapers stuff?
Well, the question about what showed up in the press several times, and I think you are referring to some comments about thinners, some comments about storage, that another terminal could be built, yes. More tanks could be built. Is that the case?
Yes, exactly.
Regarding that, I think, there is a lot of, a lot of people who are talking about the subject, and sometimes people forget that it's necessary to create the right type of infrastructures between Spain and France, and then between Portugal and Spain, to be able to have a flow of natural gas, that would exceed the one we have today. We have, very good capacity in Sines. The terminal has been busy. It's true. It has been more than enough to supply the needs of Portugal. In the past couple of years, most of the natural gas that comes to Portugal comes through Sines. Also because the flow of gas from Algeria has been stalled at some point, and everybody knows why, because of the political relationships between Algeria and Morocco and also with Spain. And I think, when people say it could be double or it could be, could increase by 40 or 50%, those are, answers, they will only be able to be answered, you know, if the European Union, if the governments decide to create the infrastructures that will be needed to supply the rest of Europe. They are not yet there. There is a lot of talks now about what can be done or not. Sines can, you know, just by increasing the gasification capacity of the terminal could, you know, receive even more gas. And I think it's just too early to talk about that. You know, this is, and again, people sometimes they forget that we are talking about projects that could take, you know, 3-4 years to develop. And of course, now we are talking about the question of the war, the supply of gas, alternatives to the Russian gas, and then, you know, the situation that we are dealing now. It's a situation that needs to be solved in the short term, not on the long term. But again, this will be decisions that you know, for the moment, I would not expect to see any decision regarding changing the scope of Sines for the moment.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Matteo Domenico from JB Capital. Please ask your question.
Hi. Yes, good afternoon. This is Matteo. Thank you for taking my questions. Sorry, but I had some technical issues and I couldn't pick up on Farah's question. So my question was on net debt is how should we be thinking on net debt for the end of 2022 and if any tariff deviation would be reverted by the end of the year. And still in net debt, I was wondering why did we see an increase in the cost of debt and if there was anything related with the emission of green bonds back in February, I believe. That's all from my side. Thank you.
The first question, so I can repeat. So basically what we said is that we are still seeing this year high energy prices. And so we are not expecting the net impact between the reversion of last year's tariff deviation and this year to be completely neutral or to be completely reversed, in the sense that we are still seeing those deviations being created this year in our favor. So if it was a more normal year, we'll probably end up around 2.5 billion of debt. Since we are still creating these deviations, it will probably be below that, so I don't know, somewhere between 2.4 and 2.5. The second one I didn't understand quite. I don't know if you can repeat it. I understood that it had to do with the increase of the cost of debt or if we were expecting increase?
Yes, that's precisely it. Why was there an increase in the cost of debt?
So the cost of debt came down a little bit. So it came down from 1.8 to 1.6%.
Yes, that's correct. Okay. Yeah. Okay.
So what we are not is to expecting that this is going to continue to go down in the next years, because the market conditions and the inflationary pressures are much more challenging to achieve that. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Next question comes from the line of Sara Piccinini from Mediobanca. Please ask your question.
The first question. The first question is on the CapEx. So we have seen a significant increase in the CapEx for this year, and you say that during 2022 also there will be an increase in the CapEx. Just want to understand what are the main drivers of this increase in the CapEx? Is it related to a reverse trend because you are investing more in renewables? Just to have an idea, if this ongoing increase in the CapEx can also mean an increase in the RAB going forward. And related to the CapEx, if you can also update on the CapEx that you are already allocating to hydrogen. So this is the first question. The second question is on the new regulation. You provided an in-depth analysis of the new regulation, and it's actually a very complicated model. So if you can maybe provide your view on how, so if you see this regulation as positive for the company going forward, and maybe if you can provide an impact, a clean impact on your EBITDA for 2022 numbers. Many thanks.
John, do you want to go?
Well, I'll try to answer the first one. The drivers of the increase on CapEx is basically the following the trend of the energy transition. The first driver is definitely something that no one was speaking about until a couple of weeks ago, and it's security of supply. So we always need to ensure that this is the first most important issue that we have to cover as the TSO. And the second one is as you mentioned, is this strong push on renewables. Bear in mind that that we are speaking about several obligations and several commitments that the electricity system in Portugal has taken, not only to connect new renewables like solar projects from the auctions that were launched last year, and in 2020, as well as all these agreements that we have been doing with the solar developers. Additionally to that, for instance, this new decree law that sets the overall rules for the energy, the electricity system, also considers the possibility of a ramp up on wind offshore, which is also something that if it happens, it will require additional capex. In terms of a couple of figures for the hydrogen, basically there are two complementary issues on hydrogen or approaches on hydrogen that we are doing. The first one is the development of a specific infrastructure for hydrogen in Sines, which is the one that I mentioned that we are applying for this PRR resilience, recovery and resilience plan on Portugal. We are speaking roughly something about around a little bit above the 20 million euros. And then the second one is all the changes that we need to do within our transmission infrastructure, because as you remember, the hydrogen policy in Portugal envisaged the capacity of having blending hydrogen with natural gas up to a level of 5% in 2025 and up to a level of 10% in 2030. We roughly estimate that for this first 5% blending target, we should need some investments on our transmission and underground storage infrastructure, almost up to 50 million euros, slightly below 50 million euros.
Just to comment on the regulatory update. So we are happy, as we told you, we think that what came out of the regulatory review was a good model. We feel that the impact versus what we have in our business plan is neutral, so we are not doing any change in the business plan. We feel that it is in line with our expectations. So certain things or certain components in detail are a little bit better, certain are a little bit worse, so I would say that overall it is neutral. Secondly, I make a second comment, is that of course this being neutral also depends on the fact that it has a sharing mechanism that we have to go after certain efficiencies that we plan to do. But bear in mind that the timing where you see them depends on the whole interval. As you understand, it's only at the end that we know exactly. And so it will be more towards the end and the last years of the of the period, that you have a bigger, a better feeling of those efficiencies and of that increased profitability. So it may be that in the first years we are still not seeing those go through, although we are working on them, and then you'll see them go through more towards the end. But we see this basically as in line with what we have in the business plan. Okay, thank you.
Very clear. Many thanks.
Thank you. As a reminder, if you wish to ask a question, please press star and one on your telephone keypad.
Thank you very much. I think if there are no further questions, we will we'll end up here. I'll pass it on to Rodrigo to just for a final remarks, and I'll remind you all that the IR team is of course available for any questions or follow-ups or calls that you might need next week or in any time. Thank you.
Thank you, Madalena. Well, as we said, I think 2021 was another special year. I think we did well. No surprises from an operational view point of view and from a financial point of view. I think we have been carefully disclosing all the news, all the events, but of course we are dealing with a certain level of uncertainty. With that said, we are confident that we have plenty of opportunities ahead. I think whether in Portugal or in Chile, things are going well, and we have a very good team that can deal with, I would say, with the surprises that may show up along the way. And as Madalena said, we'll keep in touch. Hopefully, we are starting now on a path that we can start to meet people, you know, face to face, without a screen in the middle. Thank you all, and have a very good weekend.